MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Isaac Odendoor. He's Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. Isaac, always appreciate the time. Let's kick off with the inflation picture at sort of as we wind down 2025. And frankly, I mean, I think it's looking fairly good. We've got a new inflation target. We've got a little bit of leeway on either side of that 3% number. But we are sitting at nice and low inflation, and hopefully that holds going forward.
It's been a good year on the inflation front, and I think the outlook is also pretty good as well. We've seen the rand strengthen quite a bit during the course of this year. Oil price is low. But I think also importantly, kind of the sectors that are not linked directly to the exchange rate or to energy prices, you're also seeing pretty low inflation. I think ultimately what the Reserve Bank wants to see is all of us as South Africans kind of getting used to the idea of 3% inflation, because that ultimately then also changes our behavior. And how we think about prices, how businesses adjust prices, how we approach wage negotiations and so on. And that is ultimately how you get down to 3% on a more sustainable basis. So yeah, in the short term, if you look at inflation, it'll probably creep up over the next couple of months, but then it also reaches a base and then starts declining again. So it's a pretty muted outlook. And that is why the Reserve Bank was able to cut interest rates at its November meeting.
And that expectations is so very, very important. I saw a headline a week or two ago about a union being insulted by I think it was a 5.3% offer. This is perhaps the tough part of low inflation, as you say, is getting it into labor, into consumer, and our behavior around it.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I mean, I think a couple of years ago, that initial offer to the union would have been 8 or 9 or 10%. Yeah, so we've already managed to bring those kind of sort of the anchor point around which we negotiate these things. That has already come down a lot and will continue to decline over time, because it'll take time for us to get used to the idea of lower inflation. We've always had pretty high inflation, which is why we did not experience that huge shock in 22, 23. Because for us, it was, you know, the fact that the petrol price goes up a lot. And, you know, that was pretty normal. Whereas in Europe and America, going from very steady inflation over many decades, suddenly you've got 7, 8, 9% inflation. For them, it was a huge psychological shock. And obviously had massive political ramifications across the board.
And I mean, to your point, it was 40-year highs. For us, it was, you know, I don't know, it was Tuesday in a sense. The risks, perhaps, is sort of those fuel, those administrated prices, which are sort of beyond the control. You know, fuel is rand and oil. Administrated is, you know, Eskom's going to come with their increases regardless.
Yeah, fuel prices will always be volatile. Mm. Nobody controls that. Similarly with food prices, depends on the weather. You can have good years, you can have bad years. The administered prices is the bigger problem, because, and it's ironic because obviously the government is the government's inflation target, but it's the public sector that has been the biggest culprit in not adhering to that inflation target. But it also becomes more difficult to justify an 8% increase when you know, the inflation target is 3%. So even there, I think it starts filtering into the idea that, you know, the kind of price increases that companies want around 3%. It's never going to be 3% perfectly, but it needs to be at least in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
And hopefully on the case of Eskom specifically, I mean, I think hopefully within the next year or so, we'll be over the worst in terms of the big increases from their side, because obviously they're still trying to recoup costs from building Kusile and Medupi, and it's been a complete disaster. Mm-hmm. But I mean, once that's kind of their prices should increase much, much slowly.
If we then take and look, we've had a 1.5% of interest rate cuts in the prime from 11.75, which was a terrifying. We're down at 10.25. Can we anticipate perhaps a few more cuts next year from our MPC?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, and again, it all depends on the international environment and depends on what happens with the Fed and the dollar and all that stuff. But yeah, I think the Reserve Bank's own inflation forecast and own inflation outlook, there's definitely room for more rate cuts. I think they'll proceed quite gradually because it is still a very uncertain environment, especially internationally. But there's room. You know, by the end of next year, we could definitely see another 2, maybe 3 25 cuts from the Saab if everything goes according to plan.
Then if we take it more broader and look at the economy, and we've had Moody's keep us unchanged, we got an upgrade from S&P, we're, you know, off the grey list. There is a lot of very small green shoots that are starting to come through. And of course, you know, international situation can change on a dime. But for our local economy, I almost get a sense that the forward look is perhaps better than it has been in maybe a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we've come off a very, very depressed period. It's always been a lost decade for our economy in terms of just crawling along at sub 1% growth. And now, you know, we've kind of broken through that 1% barrier. If you look at the latest GDP numbers, but also if you look at the kind of the consensus forecast for next year, you know, it should be above 1%. Now, 1%, you know, sort of 1.5% is not anything to get excited about.
Yeah.
In an international context. But again, you have to look at where we come from as a country. This period of very low growth, which was caused by, you know, huge political uncertainty, caused by persistent load shedding, by other infrastructure bottlenecks, caused by a fairly difficult international climate, COVID, all those kind of things. So I think if you look ahead, you know, we've sorted, it looks like, load shedding. We're in the process of fixing logistics. Mm-hmm. You know, you're starting to see private companies talk about, you know, their plans for operating train sets. And obviously, the political climate seems to be fairly stable. We've seen interest rate comes down. That's obviously been very, very high over most of the last decade. And then, yeah, to your point, you know, you're also starting to see ratings upgrades and international or financial markets being a lot more comfortable with the state of government finances. Obviously, for a long time, there was real concern around unsustainable debt levels.
Yeah.
And the market punishes you by, you know, raising the borrowing cost of the government, which in turn makes it the debt levels unsustainable. So you're kind of stuck in a vicious cycle. But we are now breaking out of that cycle. You've seen the bond yields come down or the borrowing costs of the government come down quite sharply this year. And now you're sort of in virtuous cycle territory. As that comes down, obviously it relieves pressure on government finances. And that in turn makes the market more optimistic. The ratings agencies are more optimistic. So yeah, I think we're kind of climbing our way out of this hole that we've been in for the last, at least the last decade.
Is our risks then for 2026 as a country more perhaps external? You know, and the easy one to put a pin into is the AI stock. Or is there, you know, some real internal risks we should worry about?
Yeah, if you're talking specifically about the kind of the market in South Africa, I think the risks, I would say for once, mostly international. Although on the domestic front, obviously, we've had this massive rally in precious metals prices.
Yeah.
And so if you get a pullback there, it will clearly hurt the mining stocks. But I think if you look beyond that on the JSE, it's not as if, you know, anything looks particularly too expensive or stretched. And yes, internationally, I don't think you can say the same. I think internationally, there's been a lot of excitement around artificial intelligence. And if you're seeing signs that perhaps some of that optimism is misplaced, you could see a pullback in international markets. I think the big thing internationally really is going to be just the state of the US economy and how the Fed reads that. If you're starting off next year and the Fed says we are not cutting rates because, you know, we're worried about inflation or because we're not seeing any deterioration in the economy, you know, that's one set of outcomes. On the other hand, you know, they could look at the situation and say, we need to cut rates because there is a weakening in the labor market. Then obviously that filters potentially into a weaker dollar, perhaps more upside for the gold price. So in that sense, we're kind of all waiting for them to make up their minds about how to read the economy. And of course, all of that happens against the backdrop of Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, being replaced around May when his term expires. Mm-hmm. And then who does Trump put into the hot seat? And how does that individual take things forward? We know that Trump really, really wants quite aggressively lower interest rates in the US.
Yeah, I take your point. And does he get that? And that perhaps is a big one to watch. We leave it there. Isaac Odendaal, Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. Always appreciate the insights. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.